Saving money on your outdoor project? Now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Adventures in Collecting. Toys on film.
Hi.
I did it a little different because
yeah, I was trying to think of a Duran Duran
toys on film.
Yeah, from.
Eventually, we have to increase the production value and get a like parody cover of that done for this.
We'll
workshop that in 2024. So we are back with another edition, our second edition. I'm not gonna commit to numbering these because that's just not gonna work over time. We're back with another edition of Toys on Film. And this is a special one because just last night, you're gonna be hearing this like about a week. Last week, Dave and I were invited back to the Japan Society for a special press screening of Godzilla Minus One. This is, like I said, going to be a special edition of Toys on Film because you're going to be hearing this, and the movie is technically not officially out in the United States yet as of hearing this. Or is it? No, December 1st. Comes out officially December 1st.
It'll be coming out this coming weekend.
Yeah, so this, yeah. Yeah,
as usual, as we do, believe the first day is the
28th. Yeah.
30 days has September, April, June, and November. Yes, the 30th.
Yeah. Yep. Thursday. I think special screening. Some theaters are starting to screen it. Like some of the IMAX screens are starting as early as the 28th, but which would be tomorrow, Tuesday, the 28th. But yeah. So do we want to, before we jump in any further, do we want to give like a quick, like, 60-second spoiler-free, like, just some things to expect in this film, some kind of reaction? Because I know, you know, as a parent, this is not a film that I would want to take my 8-year-old to. And I think...
No, it's... I could see Godzilla being quite terrifying in this.
Yeah. So I think kind of just the long and short of, before we get into the spoiler territory, is this is a serious film. It's not funny. It's not campy. It's not. If anything, you could almost put this into the category of historical fiction.
I would say it's almost like a, not a remake, not a reimagining, but like a.
I would actually go as far as to say that this is a reimagining of the original one. I mean,
yeah, I guess it would be more of a reimagining of the original 1954 movie.
Yeah, but this is a
in the sense of, you know, this is what we can do with it now.
Yeah, this is a serious post-World War II, you know, drama that features an antagonist that is a giant radioactive lizard monster dinosaur. Godzilla is scary. Godzilla is not by any stretch of the imagination is not a...
He is not our friend in
no,
this.
No, he is not anyone. Your friend. You are not rooting for Godzilla. I mean, maybe you are, but that's a whole other can of worms for you to unpack. But Godzilla is a monster. The motivation is just destruction. It is a wild animal in that regard. It is brutal. It is heavy. There are a lot of very heavy themes like PTSD and
yeah, it really delves more into the... So I would say the things that existed but weren't really like topics in 1954. Yeah, there is still the whole like geopolitical thing, which we'll
get into. Yeah,
we'll get into. We won't like dive heavily into, I would imagine, but we'll get into it. You know, but there is also, as with more modern war films or films involving war, the human aspect of it and the certainly the physical and emotional toll of it on not only the participants but the, you know, civilian aspect of it. And you know, I think yes, some of the most fun Godzilla movies have been 90 minutes of kaiju hijinks, but I think the best Godzilla movies have been the ones that have discussed the human aspect of it, or have gotten, you know, really, it's yes, this thing is going on, but here's the kind of literally ground level stakes that this has. And that's why I enjoy the original. That's why I enjoyed the first legendary one as more than the rest. That's why I enjoyed this one as much as I did.
Yeah, and I think that about sums it up in terms of like the non-spoilery stuff. So that's your primer going into it. If you do not want to be spoiled, this is the moment now where you're going to want to hit pause on this podcast and come back to us after you've seen the film, because from now on, spoilers. We're going to talk about stuff that happens in the movie. So, as we did in the last episode of Toys on Film, let's start with just some kind of facts about the movie. Dave, why don't you run down some top line facts here?
So Godzilla Minus One. It is, of course, a 2023 release. Came out November 3rd in Japan. It is coming out December 1st here in the United States.
Of note, November 3rd was the 69th anniversary of the 1954 Godzilla and Godzilla Day, and they're celebrating the 70th anniversary of Godzilla with this film. But that date is significant, that November 3rd date.
Because it was the original film release.
Yep.
So far, the movie is 125 minutes long, and it is a swift 125 minutes. The movie has so far, and I don't think it includes this most recent weekend, but I don't think it has made $19 million, 2.85 billion yen on a budget of 15 million US dollars. So it is already well on its way to being a very profitable film. It was written and directed by Takashi Yamazaki, which he said that he was wrote the script over the course of 3 years, and this is from Wikipedia, taking influence from the original 1954 Godzilla film and the 2001 Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah film.
Taking a look at the cast... We've got a pretty tight cast. There are a lot of supporting cast members, but we have kind of this core of seven actors. We have Ryunosuke Kamiki in our lead role as Koichi. You have Minami Hamabe as Noriko. Yuki Yamada as Shiro, Munetaka Aoki as Mr. Tachibana, Hidetaka Yoshioka as Kenji, Sakura Ando as Sumiko, and Kuranosuke Sasaki as Yoji. So, yeah, really.
And Kenji is, you'll know him in the film as Doc.
Yes, 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 yes. And just kind of note, Ryunosuke Kamiki, the star of the film, he has done a lot of work in some very, very familiar pieces, especially in the world of Studio Ghibli. He's in Your Name, he's in The Secret of Arrietty, he's in Spirited Away, he's in Summer Wars. He's also done just a ton of work. Japanese fans will definitely be familiar with, including Doraemon as well. And then the main female actress, so Minami Hamabe, she has done work for Shin Kamen Rider, as well as Shin-chan and some other, like I said, just, you know, heavy hitter in that tokusatsu and anime world. So it's one could say that it is a star-studded cast in that regard. But yeah, awesome cast. Yeah, they put quite a team together for this. Should we get into the plot here a little bit?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, as we mentioned at the top, this is a reimagining of sorts of that 1954 Godzilla. So we are back in, in the 40s at the start of the film, where we're in
1945.
1945, yeah. We're actually led into the film with the title card that says, the final days of World War II. As we meet our star, Koichi, we very quickly learn that he is a kamikaze pilot that has decided to abandon his mission. And for those who are not history buffs or have never heard the term kamikaze before, those were suicide missions, where, you know, the plane was the weapon. So he has abandoned his duty, and he heads to Odo Island, under the pretense that there is something wrong with his plane, where he meets.
It was a repair station.
Yeah, repair station on Odo Island, where he meets Tachibana, who is the head of he's the head mechanic there, and we right out of the gate have our first meeting with Godzilla, on the island. The mechanics who are stationed on the island are familiar with the locals, who have told them the tale of Godzilla, and we also see visually, along with Godzilla, one of the things that you're going to see over and over in the film, one of the ways that they know Godzilla is coming, because all of these like bloated, air-filled deep sea fish all kind of rise to the surface just from something that large coming out of the ocean. It brings up all these deep sea fish with it, and they're all floating in the wake of the ocean. And yeah. God's
and that kind of idea of pressure and
yeah, yep,
you know, effectively giving things the bends.
Yep,
factors in later on.
Yes, it does. We immediately see that this is not the Godzilla of recent years. This is a monster. It's ripping people in half. It's tossing people with its mouth. It's crushing them with its feet. It's blowing things up.
And I thought one of the cool like special effects right out of the gate was you could see the almost like the saliva or like bile coming from Godzilla's mouth.
Yeah. And if you've watched the trailer too, at this point you have this kind of visual indicator where it's like, huh, in the trailer Godzilla looked a lot bigger, and that is going to be the case. So Godzilla is going to get larger as this film goes on. So, but they still at the very, you know, beginning here. The theme throughout this, like we mentioned, there are themes of PTSD and you know, post-war depression. Koichi is given kind of the role to hop back in his plane and fire upon Godzilla with the machine gun on the plane, and he freezes. He can't do it. And Godzilla ends up killing all of the mechanics on the island, with the exception of Koichi and the head mechanic,
Tachibana.
So we then are hit with a bunch of flash forwards as Koichi arrives back home in Tokyo, and Tokyo is destroyed from the World War II, you know, bombings, the air raids. He has lost his parents. You can see that the part of Tokyo that he lives in is absolutely decimated.
A surviving neighbor knows what his role was.
Yep.
And immediately, like, shames him for being alive.
Yep. As, you know, she has lost her entire family to the same air raids. And then we continue with kind of this just depiction, the humanity of what's happening post-World War II in Tokyo, as you see people just kind of cobbling their homes together from rubble, going to, you know, bread lines and soup lines in order to be, you know, to find food, where we then meet Noriko and the child that she's carrying, Akiko. She just kind of moves in with Koichi. Mm-hmm. There are, when I said that this movie was not funny, there are humorous elements to it, just kind of those little,
yeah, there are moments of levity,
yeah, those character interactions, and Noriko runs the full gamut, where she helps provide some of the more, you know, funny moments and some of the absolute most gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching moments in the film. But she moves in. You learn that that Akiko is not her child. Her mother, the child's mother, begged her to take Akiko, when these air raids were happening. And Noriko lost her entire family as well. So it's basically just three orphans at this point, you know, finding a life together.
And, you know, this is where you get into another theme. Really, I'll say two other themes of the movie, which is the how precious life is and the kind of importance of promise.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, he could have very easily kicked out, you know, this woman and this child that's not even hers. And he actually says to her, you know, what are you, you know, stupid for taking, you know, a kid in? Like, you can barely take mm-hmm. care of yourself. How are you taking care of a kid? And we then see, you know, another montage where a few years jump forward. And
before this, and it's almost like it, this is, if I can have one minor thing, this almost comes across as too brief. But because I had to put two and two together for it, but it's a little too brief. Like, it could have used a slight bit more explanation. So U.S. nuclear testing causes a mutation of Godzilla. We don't know to what degree, but Godzilla is present during the nuclear tests.
Oh yeah, you're right. There is that tiny little clip.
And,
yeah.
Godzilla is also in response to the nuclear tests, destroys U.S. ships.
Yeah, we do get a cut in with a newsreel. That's actually
a brief montage.
That's actually read in English too. It's like that you know, late 40s, early 50s, like fast.
Well, it's read more as like, it's more of like a military brief.
Yeah, but it's shown in that kind of,
it's quick cutting of documents and
yep,
still photos and stuff like that. Almost a little too quick.
And you also learn that with these,
to the point where you almost lost this.
I actually did. You also learn that there's, you know, while the U.S. and Japan are you know, kind of reforming their relationship, there's also tensions building between the United States and you know, the Soviets at that point. So, you know, they start to kind of set the political stage too of what's going on in that little clip.
To the point where, because of that, any maneuvers in the area would cause more tension, so the U.S. cannot help.
Yeah. And then we cut to Koichi letting Noriko know that he has found a job and it is back with the government. And at this point, too, just Noriko does not know Koichi's past. You know, she just knows that he came back from the war. She doesn't know the kamikaze thing. You know, he's having nightmares. He's not letting her into any of this. They're raising this little girl together, but like they are not together in a sense. Like they are not together. They're basically roommates. So he gets a job with some other former military personnel, minesweeping. So it's a dangerous job, but it pays well. They're going out into the ocean in wooden boats, picking up and discharging magnetic mines. Is the work. But he ends up meeting who we'll refer to as Doc, Captain, and Kid on the boat. That's their nicknames for each other. He is hired because he was a former pilot. He has a great shot with a mounted machine gun. So, you know, as they pull the mines up, he's on the mounted gun and he's blowing them up. We then get another montage where now Akiko is getting a little bit older. He's making money. He gets a motorcycle. He builds a better house. You know, we're seeing kind of all of this develop pretty quickly here. And then they get sent out on a mission where they're near a very destroyed U.S. military,
The original one, the one that they initially spoke of.
Yeah. And, you know, Koichi now knows what's up. He knows that this could only be Godzilla.
And everyone's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, they don't believe him. And if they do, they're like, you know, don't worry, this other warship is coming in. We're just stalling for time. You know, somebody's got to, you know, just
the best warship in the fleet.
And basically the political aspect of this too is post-World War II, you know, the Axis powers were basically ordered by the United Nations to decommission the majority of their weapons. So,
and so everything they have is still usable with the permission of the UN.
Yes. So they've gotten special permission in order to utilize some of these vessels that were supposed to be decommissioned.
Because of course, as always, the government knows what Godzilla is, but they refuse to tell the people.
Yep. And they actually make jokes several times, you know, the characters that like, you know, Japan.
Of course the government would do this.
Yeah, Japan excels at, you know, lying to its people and, you know, hiding the truth and everything. Because again, you know, going back to those post-war themes. But here we're reintroduced to Godzilla.
They're there to stall for the ship, and there's two boats doing the minesweeping operation. Godzilla shows up and just destroys the first boat, sight unseen. And everyone's like, pardon me, everyone on the ship is like, uh-oh, yeah, this is like very real. So they come up with the idea of they've been saving mines. The government was like, use the mines on the creature. Now, while they're literally sprinting, because at first they're like, yeah, we'll stay and fight. No, we'll not. No, we're not. Like, we're going. As this is happening, this is where I drew some allusions to, like, Jaws, it being like the we're going to need a bigger boat type thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, four guys on a boat just talking about life and
in over their heads.
In over their heads with a giant creature, which I loved. I loved that you could draw influence from a lot of historical film, and like, you know, it's not done in a, you know, rip off or anything like that way. It's done in a very kind of referential way.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. Yeah. I love when that happens.
Yeah, they're great beats to use. I mean, we were on the edges of our seat during this whole part.
So this led to two of my favorite moments while watching the movie. Because when everybody's seeing the movie for the first time, for the most part, I would imagine, in that room. you know, the full theater response is the best. The first mine does nothing. It bounces off Godzilla's skin and blows up and nothing happens. He comes back. There's a lot of those did it work moments, and then he just shows through and is like angrier.
Yeah.
So then Doc goes, well, let's try to get one in its mouth. And so get one in its mouth. Koichi shoots it and it blows off half of Godzilla's face.
It's
gruesome. And they're like, we did it.
It's gruesome. It's gruesome.
And all of a sudden you just start to see him Wolverine back up, like he regenerates, and the crowd goes, oh, yeah. Which was one of the best crowd moments until about 5 minutes after this, when the aircraft carrier comes for Godzilla and they just start unloading on it.
And it's seemingly working. I mean, like, it's taken him out. Like, it's taken chunks of him off.
And Godzilla just floats below the surface. You just start to see, like, a blue glow come from underneath the water. And the ship just explodes.
Yeah.
And it just was like a from the crowd. Like,
and then you just see the other moment that's cool about this too is, right, you see the blue explosion, it fires straight up in the air through the ship into the sky, and then you see Godzilla in the wreckage, and you could see Godzilla is a little worse for wear, like he's a little messed up, he's still kind of glowing blue, he almost looks like craggly, and he goes back underwater and swims away and leaves the wreckage. Meanwhile, you know, our ship and our heroes of the story, their ship is completely like trashed. They can't sail away, so, you know, it fades to black, and we find out that they get airlifted.
They were also injured from the explosions.
Yeah, because it happened pretty close to them. So now...
The kid broke his arm, and Shikishima Koichi has, like...
A head injury.
He was bleeding from the head.
Yeah. So, skipping a little bit forward, we're going to skip over a couple things here, but... they get airlifted out. He goes back home, finds out that Noriko has gotten a job of her own in Ginza. She's kind of tired of waiting around for him to, you know, kind of make a move. You know, she wants to start to kind of get back on her own feet. Their neighbor is watching Akiko while they're both at work.
Miko, I believe is her name.
Yeah. So, you know, and he's just kind of not willing to, you know, kind of make any sort of move or commitment yet either, because you'll find out that to him, his war has not ended yet. You know, he didn't do right by the mechanics that he left on the island. He didn't do right by his country. He has a lot of survivor's guilt, a lot of PTSD. And, you know, his war is now with Godzilla.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
This segment is brought to you by our friends at Chubsy Wubsy Toys. A traditional mom-and-pop toy store in Little Falls, New Jersey, Chubsy Wubsy Toys brings you the best new toys from the brands you love without the hassle of pounding the pavement searching for them at larger retail stores. Visit them in person at their brand new home at 101 Newark Pompton Turnpike, Suite 1 in Little Falls, New Jersey, or online at chubzywubzy.com. That's chubzywubzy.com. And tell them Adventures in Collecting sent you.
Did you know that CGC Video Games now offers cleaning services for your favorite collectibles? Make your collectibles look good as new and give them that extra life in our crystal clear holders. With professional cleaning for sealed, complete in box, and cartridge-only games, maximize the potential of your collection. Submit today at cgcgrading.com. That's cgcgrading.com.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
And now back to the show.
All right, so next up, we find out that Godzilla has made his first landfall in mainland Japan, and wouldn't you know it, it just so happens to be in the city that that poor
Noriko is working.
Poor Noriko is working in.
It's Ginza, yeah. And not poor Noriko. Why poor Noriko?
Because
she's on her own in 1940s Japan getting a job. Like,
because
come on.
I'm saying,
or in 1940s world.
Poor Noriko, we know what's about to happen to her. Poor Noriko, she's about to get dangled from a trolley car. So Godzilla makes its first mainland Japan appearance here, and Dave alluded to this before, but we get to see that other moment, one of those theater moments,
which I think they showed in the trailer.
Yeah, they showed in the full trailer, but we get to see the full effect of this version of Godzilla's atomic breath.
We'll say like tailbone just expands, turns blue, and he unleashes nuclear havoc from his mouth.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time that like it's been called atomic breath, you know, since the very beginning.
And it shoot looked like Fallout.
Yeah,
like,
this is
what you've been told Fallout looks like, because none of us,
yeah,
who are listening to this know what Fallout looks like.
And in a last moment, as Godzilla is about to unleash this, or as he's unleashing this, Noriko shoves Koichi after she's been through an ordeal. She's been, her trolley car gets picked up. She gets dropped into an inlet. She swims to safety. She runs for her life. She runs into Koichi,
who came
looking for her after hearing they were under attack, and she shoves him into an alleyway and bye-bye Noriko. She gets caught up in the kind of nuclear atomic wind from the shock waves of the explosion, and she's gone. And once again, Koichi is left with just survivor's grief, guilt, as he watches, and we see the scope of the damage that Godzilla has done. And you know, we pan up to Godzilla just kind of looking over, you know, the destruction and just walking away, and it starts to rain ash, and you know, the atmosphere is all, you know, out of whack because of the mushroom cloud. And you know, again, like when this movie came out in 1954, it was very real that like Japan was still recovering from World War II. And this really, like, is for me, him on his knees screaming at like the nuclear, you know, rain that's coming out of the sky and the full destruction really kind of makes you feel so tiny.
And being effectively solitary,
yeah,
in this area. He's literally just lost like all that's left.
Yeah. And, you know, he clearly, you know, makes it his point moving forward that like he is going to move heaven and earth and do whatever he can to stop Godzilla.
Mm-hmm. And Godzilla's destruction is very, you look at when he first came home, like the gravity of it is similar to the, you know, atomic bombs dropped by, you know, the US military.
Yep.
Like it's all on par. Like,
yeah, and it has,
this is equally as devastating.
And it's just they really convey that feeling of devastation in this in a way that you can only, honestly, that you can only understand by watching the movie, unless, you know, I was completely blown away by this part, because again, just this is the first time I really feel like a Godzilla movie has nailed that scope of just absolute mm-hmm. devastation. So they have the funeral. We see kind of like the repass of Noriko as people are leaving their house. And this is where we find out that Doc is an ex Navy engineer scientist, and along with some other ex naval leaders and a kind of a bastion of civilians.
Former service people.
They are putting together a civilian effort to stop Godzilla. And again,
yeah, because it can't be, it's not allowed to be official.
Yep, it's not allowed to be official, and they can.
It's not allowed to be official, but it's being encouraged.
Yes, and as we mentioned before, the United States is unable to help because any movement in that part of the world with military vessels runs the risk of
causing war with the Soviet Union.
Yeah, so we then have the awesome briefing scene where we see,
yeah, this is really cool.
Doc has his moment. So we had the oxygen bomb in the original Godzilla, and here we have a Freon belt.
Effectively a Freon belt.
They've developed a Freon belt, and they show a little, you know, scale model of how, you know, in salt water, when you surround something with Freon tanks and let them bubble, it will sink whatever is rapidly attached to it rapidly. And they find a part of the ocean, a bay that is very, very deep. And the goal is to take these two vessels and almost a la AT-AT in Empire Strikes Back, wrap Godzilla in cable that has these Freon bombs, Freon tanks strapped to them. And
detonate them
and sink him to the bottom of the ocean and hope that the severe pressure will
crush him.
Will crush him, yeah. But there is a plan B if that does not work, because they know he comes from the bottom of the ocean. And this is what Dave alluded to earlier when he said the Bends, they hired a Japanese balloon company that makes parachutes and crash pads to basically make a giant CO2-filled crash pad that they can detonate and expand and then rapidly rise him to the surface. So if the rapid sinking does not kill him, the hope is that the rapid rising will give Godzilla the bends. And, you know, basically they understand that
basically explode him internally.
Yeah, they know that he can heal. So the idea is to cause as much damage to him as humanly possible, as quickly as possible, in hopes that he can't recover from it. Or at the very least weaken him so that way they can fire upon him. This is their only plan. This is the only thing that they think will work. So along with the plan, so that they got to get him into the bay somehow. We've talked about the belt, we've talked about the Freon belt and the platform. So they have an water acoustic speaker that they're going to play Godzilla noises to lead him into the bay. Koichi says, "Get me a plane. I can help." So they find him a prototype plane that never actually saw any wartime, but it was kind of hidden away in a hangar somewhere. But it is not ready for flight. So Koichi then goes on a little bit of a journey to find the head mechanic, his
Tachibana,
his co-survivor from Odo Island, which he is able to find, and he agrees after some convincing. that he will fix the plane and get it ready for flight. Now, what Doc does not know is that Koichi has also convinced Tachibana to turn the plane into a kamikaze plane. So,
to a huge bomb.
Yeah, massive bomb. He's taken out fuel cells and replaced them with bombs. Again, Doc does not know this. He thinks that he's just going to lead Godzilla out into the ocean. And, you know, basically Koichi knows that with this plane, if he can fly it into Godzilla's mouth, there's enough explosives in there to basically decapitate Godzilla.
So the night before they get, they're going over the plan, and they tell the youngest member of the crew, don't come. The fact that you weren't unable to serve initially is a good thing. You know, you don't need this burden on you. And they tell him to stay home. He's upset about it. Kind of long story short there.
Yeah.
So we get to the next day where we're out on the mission. However, Godzilla kind of, as Godzilla tends to do, he does not go according to plan and makes landfall heading towards land. And he's on land. So Koichi has to take off. He has to fly, and he draws Godzilla away from
Tokyo. Land. Yeah, I mean, he was
from Tokyo. He's heading right towards Tokyo, away from land and back into the bay. And then the boats start to go full on like at, and they successfully wrap Godzilla with the Freon belt.
Yep, and they activate it. They sink him. We see him, and meanwhile he's got his atomic breath charged. He's ready to rip on this and they sink him before he can
just on time.
Yeah, just in time.
And it deactivates the injury, deactivates him, but does not kill him.
Yeah.
So they say, "All right, bring him up."
So they inflate.
They start to bring him up, and he makes it about halfway before he eats through the cable. And they try to use the ships to pull Godzilla to the surface of the water, but they are unable to because he is so massive. So the kid got all of the tugboats together, all of the civilian
fishermen, tugboats,
to come help. And they are able to bring Godzilla to the surface. He is not dead, but he is...
He's real messed up.
Very beat up and very angry.
Yeah. And we can see, alluded to earlier, when he uses the atomic breath, he kind of gets this, like, you can almost see the blue atomic, like, light poking through his skin at points. Now it's like, he looks like a piece of shattered glass. Like, he's ready to crumble. But he's charging up, ready to unleash that atomic breath. And they realize that they messed up. They weren't able to do this. It's over. Then you start to see everybody look to the sky as we see Koichi making a beeline with his bomber right towards Godzilla's open mouth as he's charged up with this energy. And right as he is about to crash into Godzilla's mouth, he pulls the ejector seat. And the plane...
That was installed purposely by...
Tachibana.
Tachibana to tell him, this... You've made it up to everyone. Yeah. Like, this is you're ready to do this.
Yeah, you can do that. You can live. You can do this and live. And he ejects from the plane. The plane lodges itself in Godzilla's mouth. And while he is still charged with that atomic breath, the plane explodes, and Godzilla's head explodes along with it, and he crumbles into the sea. The pieces of Godzilla crumble apart. The atomic energy goes out. Game over. Godzilla has been defeated. Everybody comes back to land celebratory, and wouldn't you know it, waiting for him on shore with his daughter is his neighbor Sumiko, and she's got a telegram in hand. And that telegram, Koichi reads it, and we cut to Koichi and Akiko running into a hospital, and Noriko has survived her ordeal, and she has been healing in a hospital bed, unable to reach anybody until kind of this moment. And the film ends with her asking Koichi, has your war ended? And weeping in her lap, he says yes. Roll credits. That's Godzilla minus one.
Well, before we roll credits, at the bottom of the ocean, we see a big hunk of Godzilla starting to regenerate.
As the classic
in the bottom of Crystal Lake.
Yeah. So more to come from Toho Godzilla.
The use of the original theme was great too.
Yeah. The score for this is phenomenal. Across the board. The new piece is phenomenal. Yeah,
you can listen to it on all your preferred music services.
But both of those original themes, I think they're actually called theme one and theme two,
I believe they're the suite.
Or the suite. Yeah, suite one and suite two are amazing. Great use of the original music in there too. So but yeah, so that takes us through Godzilla minus one. So my initial reaction, I've had some time to sleep on it after seeing it. I would go as far as to say that this is the best Godzilla film. Best. Like I said, just, you know, in terms of how it handles all of these very complex themes, the animation on Godzilla. Godzilla has never been more terrifying than in this film.
Looked great. Yeah. Looked fantastic.
Like when you told me that it was a $15 million budget, I thought you had forgotten a zero. It's incredible what they managed to do on this budget, both in like the open ocean stuff, the stuff that's happening in, you know, on land. Godzilla itself, it plays really well. They did a fantastic job with that, and the acting was just unbelievable. Like the interactions, the small interactions between the characters, ranging from, you know, the kind of like war room, you know, briefing scenes to stuff that really was more akin to, you know, Jaws. You know, just like three or four guys on a boat, you know, talking about, you know, their past and, you know, dealing with this thing that they're weighing over their head. You know, that it's just nothing was like super over the top. It was really, really well done in my book. What's your take, Dave?
Yeah, it was so good. Like it's absolutely, I think, the best Godzilla film. Whether you're going combining all of them or, you know, just the Japanese ones, but it is the best Godzilla movie since the first, I feel.
Yeah.
And so far, like if you look at reviews of it, it is probably the best reviewed. And I know Shin Godzilla was well reviewed too. So it's up there with them, if not better. And it is just, it's a fantastic movie. I would like to go see it again in IMAX.
Yeah. So, you know, we saw it on it was still a movie theater screen, but the screening room at the Japan Society is a more intimate experience. It's a more intimate theater. Great sound in there.
Smaller screen than an IMAX, of course.
But yeah, this is something that like the largeness of it, I think, will play really well on an IMAX screen. I'd be curious to see it again there.
But yeah, I know, like saying you owe it to yourself to go see this in a theater is like has become hyperbole because of, like, you know, the fact that studios now want you to go see movies in a theater.
Yeah.
But this is definitely, if you can make it, if it's safe for you to go, if you are able to go, well worth your time and effort to go see this on a screen and with a crowd.
So before we get into the toys, I think we've made it kind of obvious at this point, but like, Dave, do you recommend that that people should go see this movie?
Yes.
I also second that. So this is getting the AIC two thumbs up from both of us. Go see this. Now, toys. This movie is not, we've got one monster. The most toyetic thing about this movie is Godzilla. Godzilla is I don't see them making action figures or anything of the people. And Bandai has already shown off the SH Monster Arts Godzilla Minus One figure. We saw it in person at New York Comic Con. We also saw it in person at Toy Fair, and you know it's been on display at Tamashii Nations at the event that just happened in Japan. But along with the SH Monster Arts, there is going to be a slightly larger format statue that's made by Bandai and Tamashii Nations, and then of course the more kind of like vinyl classic minimal articulation Godzilla Minus One as well. Now, in true fashion to, you know, action figure and collectibles, I would love to see, especially like, you know, like a battle damaged Godzilla from this movie.
Yeah, or the blue.
Yeah, or one that has kind of the blue glow to it. I mean, those variations would work very well. They'd make very, very good toys. But yeah, Godzilla Minus One, The SH Monster Arts from Bandai already.
And it looks as enormous as you would expect.
Yeah. Already up for pre-order. So.
Mm-hmm. Says due February.
Yeah. Yeah. It's coming soon. I mean, and some of those, the more simple like vinyl ones are already available. I know, you know, they're in people's hands in Japan already. So, yeah, and don't forget too that Playmates Toys does have a license with Toho. They are making Toho related figures. You know, again at like that lower price point.
And some of those are really good.
Yeah, the detail on them are fantastic.
I like them a lot. I think like, and you know, this is unrelated to the current movie, but I think one of the coolest moments that I've seen was like a little kid just pick those up with two of them up and ask his mom if he can get both. Like. She was like, okay, you can get both. And he was like super jazzed about the Godzilla figures.
And those are great because they're just like chunky, you know, again, minimal articulation, but that means less things to break.
But they're also like very God, you know what I mean? Like they're not like weird action figure-y Godzilla, like they're Godzilla.
Yeah, yeah, it's just, they look great. So, you know, there are options out there to get your Godzilla Minus One fix. It's been a great year for Godzilla fans. Whether it's what our friend of the pod Kyle is doing over at Super 7, the steady stream of SH Monster Arts figures, like we mentioned, Playmates, and then just the content. So the Monarch series on Apple TV Plus that just launched. We've got the, you know, obviously Godzilla Minus One. It's been a great year for the King of Monsters. So
I think Godzilla versus Kong 2 is due out this year too.
Yeah, we got that coming soon. Or next 2024. Year, 2024. So soon. So we'll continue.
It's almost 2024.
We'll continue the kaiju journey then. Yeah. So I mean, no other closing thoughts from me on the movie. You know. I think it was great. I think you should go see it. Comes out December 1st. Dave, anything to kind of send everybody home with?
Oh, shout outs to the Japan Society.
Yes.
For having us as part of it. And
if you're into Japanese cinema, you should definitely, and you're you know, in the tri-state area, East Coast.
In the New York City area.
Check out their programming because they have a lot of really cool screenings coming up. So yeah, I guess with that, that's all she wrote. Until next time, Dave, send us home.
Bye everyone.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.